Delighted now to be joined on the phone by the East Cork candidate for Fianna Fáil, Kevin O'Keefe, who is a current sitting TD in Dáil Éireann, and he's the current junior spokesperson for sport right now. So, hiya Kevin, how are you?
Good afternoon, Caroline.
Thanks a million for giving us your time.
Thank you for affording me your time too.
No problem at all. So, so as I mentioned, you're the junior spokesperson for sport at the moment, sitting TD. You were only elected, that was the first time you were elected, was in 2016, is that right?
I did contest election in 2011.
Ah, right, okay. So for the coming up, the coming election, what's on your agenda to help improve the situation with, you know, we've got the three H's, we've housing, homeless, health, and we've got climate. But let's focus in at the moment on maybe the housing crisis. Like, obviously, we know it's a massive crisis all over the country, and it's no different in Cork. So how do you imagine it's going to be tackled if Fianna Fáil come into government and have a majority government?
Well, I suppose, Caroline, first of all, there is a housing crisis, and it's not just in the big cities of Cork and Dublin. Mm. It's nationwide, county-wise. The big problems at the moment, obviously, of building houses at the moment in our constituency at the moment is lack of infrastructure being put in place. Plannings are pending in many major towns in the Cork East, including Middleton and up into Fermoy and Mitchelstown. And the problem is the common denominator is Irish Water. Irish Water needs to be properly funded in order to have the infrastructure in place. But going back to the bigger picture in regards to housing, our party in the outgoing last Dáil did emphasise the importance of having affordable housing available to people. It's not just about having social housing available. It's about housing people available who want to buy houses. But at the moment, the prices are beyond their reach based on some of their incomes. And Fianna Fáil did, in the second half budget, get a commitment from the government to put money in place to make money available to build affordable housing for people. And we see some few announcements being made, like, you know, for Milton and for my, that they'd be allocated funding to build affordable houses. But we need to get it moving quicker, like, is the big issue. Like.
Do you think that the same mistakes are being made again that were made before the Celtic Tiger spectacularly crashed with regards to the housing? Because obviously the economy in Ireland was mainly buoyed by the construction industry in Ireland around that time, and when that collapsed, the whole thing collapsed. Like, as you mentioned, their house prices have been increasing, and they're now not affordable for, you know, the normal Joe Soap to get on the property ladder. So are we focusing too much on that? I mean, also, like, there are a lot of properties that are lying just empty, you know, that maybe just need a bit of doing up, and you don't necessarily have to go and build these estates with hundreds of houses in them on the outskirts of town, that maybe there are some houses within the towns itself that just need to be, you know, redone up and given to people.
Obviously, we need more. There was some incentives there, but some people were looking to take some of these incentives, you know, to refurbish and reconvert them existing premises on some of our main streets in, you know, villages and towns. And I agree with you, like, you know, that should be given a priority in regards to enhance the whole infrastructure in the towns and villages. But I suppose you want about the last time, like, you know, the last time we even kept building more houses, the prices even kept going up.
Mm.
But what's happening at the moment is that it is only all we're having at the moment is an accumulation of planning applications.
Mm.
No site being turned, no house being built. And that's a more worrying situation, like, you know.
And you mentioned that you think that that's down to Irish Water and the lack of infrastructure around that. Does that mean that you think that there should be a water charge reintroduced?
No. I firmly stand behind the position Fianna Fáil took on that in the abolition of water charges. Obviously, we have to come back into the issue of more capital funding made available to Irish Water and find a mechanism that they can get work done. Like, you know, obviously, maybe they haven't the resources as much as the funding to get these works carried out. Like, you know, it's a case of moving quicker. Like.
And what's holding up the planning applications for these estates?
Well, the planning, as I said, in planning some estates is held up because Irish Water will not give a grant and license for connection to the village or the town sewer, like, you know.
Okay, and is that because they can't manage it, or that they wouldn't be able to keep up with the numbers, or?
I don't know, if they're telling the people, like, or the applicants, the developers, the builders, that they can allow connection because the facilities are not up to scratch, and we'll end up with pollution of our riverways uncontrolled pollution of sewage into our seas. So obviously the environment has to be protected as well.
Mm.
And you know,
yeah,
we had down 3 years ago where we had villages that had no sewage treatment plants, right?
Mm.
But yeah, in the meantime, I have got plants, but obviously they didn't keep pace with time, like.
Okay, so in that regard, so how will Fianna Fáil ensure that these planning applications are able to go through? I mean, you know, is it to put obviously you mentioned a bit more capital into Irish Water, but surely, you know, there'll have to be a return on that then.
Agreed. And, you know, there's been reports, and we're sick of hearing about reports, but one of the angles I've always advocated is that we review the development charges that are levied on the properties, right?
Mm-hmm.
That might afford builders the opportunity to build houses at a lower cost. Some people are looking for to reduce the VAT. Many mechanisms have been looked at how to reduce the cost of building a house, like, you know, but the issue, like, you know, central government has to fund Irish Water properly.
Right. So you think that once that's done, then, you know, that's going to go a long way to help with the current housing crisis?
Yes, the development of housing. And, you know, in some villages, you know, it's ironic that our local authority is in a position with money to allow a developer to go and build houses. But at the same time, Irish Water are in the way.
Mm.
If this was going back 5 years ago before Irish Water was separate from the local authorities, I'm sure they would have been able to work hand in hand.
Yeah.
In these developments.
But like, is it not the case that the developers can somehow, you know, help with the cost of attaching you know, hooking up the water, new estate water system with Irish Water and that? No.
There is places where I'm led to believe they've been making offers, but Irish Water want to stand alone and be an independent utility without any kind of no can do, like, you know, and that's the problem we have, like, you know. There is developers who are prepared to contribute it and have the sewer plant upgraded.
Mm.
But Irish Water are not prepared to go down that road.
Okay, so what can you do? So if Irish Water are sticking their you know, their feet into the ground?
Well, look, I'll be honest with you, I know that there's only so much in the puss within the central government, you know, but I would be impressed upon if we, our party, as I can say, in the next government, about some way of proper funding Irish Water and putting in straight a proper structure that they can function to deliver these services.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we'll move on to health. The current state of the health system. I mean, everybody is aware. There's the trolley count and the whole lot every day. I heard there's this new Sláinte Care on the books. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, Sláinte Care is a kind of a document that's been put together, and our party committee commissioned. Well, put that document together only a couple of years ago, like, you know, and it was adopted by the Dáil itself, like, you know, the last government, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Rome wasn't built in a night. It ensures access to care for all,
mm-hmm.
Without any private routes, but it's the issue of bringing it to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's so slow being advanced, I think you might know one answer is the lots of money being pumped into the children's hospital, like, going way over budget. So that is having a knock-on effect in the Sláinte Care mechanism being put into place.
Okay, so, like, obviously with Sláinte Care, though, is it not going to be the case where you're going to have to have another tax? It's going to be a health tax or something like that to enable Sláinte Care to get off the ground and be funded?
Well, I wouldn't say another tax, but I'm assuming, you know, that the revenue that people pay at the moment, you know, will be properly utilised, the income tax they pay, like, you know, that. But what I'm trying to say to you is that at the moment, that the money that was supposed to be earmarked to gradually to the implementation of this Sláinte Care has been diverted into, like, the children's hospital, the new children's hospital. But and talking about the health services, you know, look, you know, they're getting a fierce bashing, like, you know, but I must compliment the staff and the cold face.
Oh, yeah.
That the people who work day in, day out, 24/7. That once people get inside the door of any hospital or unit, the care improvement again. We have to compliment the staff and what they're doing. But it's the whole bureaucracy of the system operating more efficiently in getting people off our trolleys.
And isn't it the case that we just need more people on the ground? We need more frontline staff and consultants and everything.
We do. Agreed. And obviously there's been attempts to entice more people to return home and take up the posts within these medical professions. That initiative has to be reviewed. Seems to be a crunch issue here again. Seems to get enough consultants who want to work in the system at the moment.
We're hearing that unemployment is at an all-time low in Ireland at the moment. But yet, all we're kind of hearing is that there's no money in the coffers, that there's no money left to fund anything. So I'm just wondering, where is all the taxpayers' money going, and what has it been spent on? Are you telling me that it's all been spent on the children's hospital?
No, I'm not saying it's all spent on the children's hospital, but each department has allocated so much money, and so much money, and it's delivered out to provide services, the education, you have a major the Department of Transport, we have a major budget, delivery of proper infrastructure. And of course, that covers a whole wide range of transport, be it from trains to motorways, and even your own back roads around and in West Watford, it's a case of, as I said earlier, how to manage the bus.
I know, and so what are Fianna Fáil's plans to, I suppose, help manage the purse a bit better than what has been done in the last, 8 years or whatever?
Well, as I said a while ago, I would be hopeful, that we would see a way of prioritising the issue of delivery of, infrastructure, while some of these projects cost the state money, like the Dunkirk Interchange, the M20, but to the economic benefit they generate, it's not a case of getting paid back the tax money straight, that you get back your money from the road or the interchange. But it's the economy that grows out of this infrastructure. And that's how the money, you generate more money for the central government.
Okay, so I suppose better the roads and the to and the from places of interest and places of industry will just improve.
Correct. Your major industrial facilities in Cork City, we must provide proper infrastructure roads and to grow the economy up the Western Corridor and obviously straight into South East, in your own area, and down into Waterford and Wexford. But that's what I'm saying, it's about hitting the button in the right place. And I have the confidence, that under our leadership with Micheál Martin, that he has the ability to make the right calls where money should be going, prioritised on issues including health, as you said yourself.
Yes. Do you think, though, that if, for example, people knew, and were aware of Sláintecare and what the benefits they would get out of it, what they would be entitled to if they conscribed to it, that if they were told that, look, you can get all this, you can get free GP care, you can get your operations and this, that and the other, but it's going to cost you, 10, 20 euro a month or something like that. Do you think that more people, if they knew the breakdown and the cost that it would incur, that they might be a bit more willing to go on board with it, knowing what they were getting out of it, as opposed to just saying, we're going to tax you now because we have to pay for this? Do you think that that might be something down the line that would be an idea of how to maybe get the Sláintecare off the ground?
Anytime you have to take more money off the taxpayer, is always a difficult issue.
It is, but most of the time, though, isn't it a case of you're just saying
a hard sell?
We're going to take more money without actually explaining why and where it's going.
I know what I'm saying, but that's why we need to be able to, within existing resources that they have, they should be able to gradually be fast be implemented Sláintecare on a more fast track method, piecemeal, and hopefully that when there's more. There's more benefits to be seen of it, then maybe people might consider paying extra money towards it, but at the end of the day, that's taxpayer to pay more money is always a big item.
Yeah, I know. Nobody likes to pay more taxes, you know. But so the I'm losing my train of thought there now for a second. Right. So we were talking about the health. Yes. So if Fianna Fáil get into government, obviously the Children's Hospital has gone over budget. Do you think? And are there ways to reduce that, if at all, or is it just going to be the case of that you're just going to be left with it and you just have to roll with it if you get into government and you're just going to have to keep going with it?
Well, I can say there's no way will we stop it from continuing now, because there's so much happening, pumped into, like, no point in making that kind of a promise, you know, that review, like, no, we must keep going. But, like, you know, we had a minister, I think, when he met the board or the Children's Hospital only once or maybe twice in a couple of years, like, with a major project like that, you know, you should have a minister more hands-on, like, you know, and know what's happening, like, and why that there has been overruns and in budget, like, you know. But to hear that the minister only met him twice, I don't think any operation, government or business could allow function that way, like, you know. You need to be more hands-on, like.
Yeah, I think something that big and something that important anyway, definitely. And also, the location of it, I know, look, it's been discussed before, but it just seems to baffle that, because they were advised to locate it somewhere else, but they just continued anyway with that location. And maybe that's what caused or what led to the cost.
Well, I suppose everyone has their own call of the pitch for it, like, you know. It's, if they had the way, they'd have it down in Athlone and in the centre of the country, like, you know. The pros and cons have been argued.
Yeah.
We have to move on. I
know.
It's, like, you know, at the end of the day, maybe not everyone was happy, like, you know what I mean. But, like, you know, originally it was to be put above in the grounds of the Marlborough Hospital, like. And let's go back 20 years, like, you know, and listen, maybe there's a mistake made, but I'm sure the issue of transport and access can be catered for.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the round about congestion, like, you know, but sure, now with all this issue of modes of transport and reduction of traffic into the city of Dublin, that hopefully we won't see people hindered. But the whole issue of the healthcare system, you know, is even down into rural Ireland, like, you know, we see there in some communities, like, who don't have their own GPs, and we don't have some communities like you all that don't have a proper primary healthcare facility, like, you know. They're the place that need to be addressed as well, like, you know, and so that there's an immediate medical access for people. And all that feeds in the end of the day that they're reducing the crisis within the A&E hospitals or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely feel that people who are, you know, in the rural parts of the country, and that they have to travel 3 or 4 hours to get to primary care, you know, it's not an ideal situation, and definitely something that needs to be focused on, I think.
Like, one time every village had a dispensary functioning 24/7, like, where a GP would always be on hands, but that's all gone, like, you know, and it's a concern, like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, can you hold on? I'm just going to go to a break.
Okay.
Is that okay? And we'll come back after this?
Yes.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay.
Joined on the phone by Kevin O'Keefe, who's the East Cork candidate for Fianna Fáil. Thanks for hanging on there, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
Kevin, just I wonder, could you tell me, since you were elected in 2016, just kind of give me a rundown of what you have achieved or helped implement in East Cork since you've been a TD?
Well, I suppose, first of all, I want to say that I've been working very hard on the ground and ensuring that any national issues like that pertain to East Cork have received an hearing. I remember one of the first items I had to go after was the issue for the tillage farms. Like, you know, I've always been supportive of the tillage farms, even though I've been more of a dairy farmer background myself, you know. But if you remember back in 2016, we had the ill-famous salt drift, which destroyed a lot of tillage farmers' crops.
Yes.
And I was to the forefront with all politicians of trying to get the highlights in the dial. No, I'm not saying I got a 100% result. Subsequent to that, you had the harvest collapse in the following autumn, and farmers did get money. Right. I suppose, you know, we're only the opposition party, even though we facilitate the government. But I've always been to the forefront ensuring, you know, that projects that are find interest to Knockcock and East Cork have been kind of moved along.
Mm-hmm.
I've been day in, day out, you know, ensuring that the dump kettle interchange, you know, I'm constantly pursuing that, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose, you know, I'm not going to take credit for anything, like, you know, but in my remit, like, you know, at least the government released money for the greenway,
yeah,
from the Isle to Middleton.
Yes.
We'll come to those and a tourism boost for the area, like, you know.
Absolutely.
No, the government gave the money for the Iron Man.
Mm.
Looked. Minister Stanton is the minister of the day, like, you know. But I was in some meetings when we met the various interested parties to get the funding for that project, and we will come, it's going ahead this year. And we see investment in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, you know, I'm not going to say I gave everything, got everything through, like, you know, but that's why I'd like to be re-elected again and would change the government. And I might be in a position to have a stronger hand.
And what do you hope to achieve if Fianna Fáil are elected and you are in the majority? What would you hope to achieve in the government?
Well, what I hope to achieve in government is that in this constituency, you know, that the housing issue can be addressed. Like, it is still an issue wherever I go in East Cork. There's welfare issues, like, you know, in regards to people mental issues and that, like, you know, it seems to be a growing town issue and the QT is such, like, you know, I can't publicise where it comes to me, like, you know, but I'm aware of it.
Mm.
Many parts of East Cork, it's a sad to see it happening, like, you know.
Mm.
Crime.
Yes.
It's growing.
It's terrifying what's happened in the last few days in Cork.
It's terrifying to see how it's close to your doorstep.
Yes.
You know, Cork is only just down the road from us.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, we've had it happen in Dublin years ago, and Limerick, we thought Limerick had been sorted.
Mm-hmm.
To see if what happened. Not just once, but three or four times.
Yeah.
Cork City.
It's terrifying.
It's exactly a metropolis, like, you know, everyone knows each other.
Mm. And how do you think that... What would need to be done to get on top of that and to kind of ensure that kind of thing doesn't happen, become a regular thing?
I think more money, resources need to be put into the Gardaí, the prevention of the drug situation. We must be getting on hand.
Mm.
Must be getting on hand. I think it's evident in every town and village that there is a drug usage going on.
Absolutely.
I know, either for social reasons or just for need reasons, like, but it has to be addressed urgently.
Do you think the answer to that, to the drug problem, would be to legalise drugs?
No, I'm not a fan of death.
No.
I saw in my own backyard at the Mitchtown Independent Festival, like, person lost their life.
Yes.
It's only from one door. Well, I think it's only the first time to use, so I'm led to believe. So this thing I'm caught once and reprimanded, just like, you know, I think education was kicking straight away.
Mm.
So, it's only, you know, we're talking about provincial, like, you know, and, you know, over in Dublin, they seem to put their hands up and provide these injection centres, you know, but I don't want to see it happening in the county of Cork, you know.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a bit of a... It's a tough one, I think, to tackle, because on the one hand, a lot of these people are using... I suppose impure drugs that are probably more detrimental. Plus, there's always going to be the black market. There's always going to be the dealers, and that. So it's really a tough one to call, I think.
Well, you see, Kelly, you know, in control, like, you know, education and facility, like, you know, I'm over 15, all right, but I remember in my younger days, like, people, teenagers my age, like, you know, they was past the time playing pool and maybe having one or two drinks.
Mm.
You don't see those people at all now, like, you know, where are they hiding? Where are they getting the drugs?
Yeah, I know.
And then, we come back to the issue of Minister Ross, like, you know, disregard for rural Ireland, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, as I said, you know, I had no success, maybe in my party as well, but I did my best. Have to have some of the laws that Mr. Ross has put upon us, like, you know.
I know.
And then he's almost shut down rural Ireland. I see that I'm out canvassing these evenings, right? And we try to keep going until it's proper to stop, like, you know.
Mm.
You'll notice the minute it comes 7 o'clock, there's shut down in rural Ireland. You won't see a car on the road.
Yeah.
It's just shut down. There's no one on the move now anymore.
I know. There's lots of things that have contributed to that, really.
Well, I suppose, in regards to else, myself, like, you know, broadband is still a town issue.
Mm.
I wasn't in the government who said, like, let's get fibre optic to everyone, like, you know, but the equipment was given. It has been stood by the last government. And I think if I'm in a position like that, I'll ensure that the broadband is delivered to where it should be in places. Tourism, of course, is a big issue of East Cork. I know you all would like to get some industry.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you can reap the benefits of the Greenway and all of the tourist facilities. We cover the roads and any road infrastructure like.
Mm.
Climate change, I agree, it is going to create a problem, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be rushing the way the government are rushing at the moment. That is, I'm concerned, you know, that expect all vehicle cars to be zero carbon emissions by 2030.
It's a bit, that's just 10 years away. It's a bit unrealistic, I think, to expect people to be able to, because their electric cars at the moment are expensive.
That'll have to be, as a part, we'll have to look at it carefully, like, you know, seriously.
Yeah, even with the grant that you get for buying electric, it's still expensive.
The Hammond Lanes are only laughing at smiling at the moment, like, you know, because there's no way we're going to get any media conversion so quick, like,
yeah.
Don't rush the blood to the head. But I do acknowledge that the climate action is needed, like, and corrections are needed, like, you know, but we have to be careful how we handle it. So, because the last thing we want to do is shut down the agricultural community.
I know.
Business. It's a major driving economy and for jobs.
Well, to be fair, I don't think you can compare the Irish agricultural landscape with that of America or South America, where, you know, the production of beef and that is on a far, far larger scale. And the Irish way of raising cattle and stuff is a lot more humane, and it's a lot, you know, we have the facility with the pastures and that, you know, they're not herded into sheds. They're not made to stand for...
I'll put it this way too, right? This issue of carbon, reduction of carbon emissions is going on with a number of years ago. We were being attacked a couple of years ago because we were paying for the carbon units from, say, maybe from Slovakia or from Hungary, right?
Right.
Okay. Europe now has put in target a place of zero emissions in such a year, 2040 or whatever, okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get to 2040, like, you know, what's happening in the rest of the world, as you said a minute ago, like, what are you doing, like? Will we be making money out of the rest of the world by giving them carbon emission units, credits, we call it, carbon credits, sorry, that's what I mean to say, carbon credits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to be careful how we move down the road, like, you know, otherwise... We'll be walking around bare feet, and the sun will be shining in the side of Africa.
Yeah, I know. It's there's only so much we can do here. That if the rest of the world aren't doing their bit either, it's kind of, you know, everybody needs to get on board with it, I think, you know, for it to work.
You mentioned in regards to sport, and you know, I was glad to be out doing a spokesman the last 4 years. Like, we had our ups and downs with the Olympic Council of Ireland and the AFA.
Mm.
But I'm glad to see that things have progressed, especially with the Olympics. Like, you know, we won the strongest team ready to go to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they'll bring back some medals. The AFA, we've seen the change in the last few months, I know, and I'll put my hand up, you know, that maybe was caught offside in the way, and somebody should, like, you know, but at the same time, we must acknowledge that the local grassroots.
Yeah.
Are functioning fine, like, you know, and every day you see major headlines where all the national under 16 teams or the 18,
mm-hmm.
under 21s are doing very well, like, you know.
Yeah.
And they didn't just walk straight from the house into the pitch, like, you know, they had to be trained and coached.
Exactly.
Little, soccer clubs and football clubs, which was come in, and the good voluntary work they are doing.
Exactly.
And that's where we go back to the grants and being made available.
Yeah.
Through the sports capital funding.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, thank you so much.
Kelly,
for joining me.
Time and later, and I've always, you know, as you know, like, you know, I'm kind of fixed towards the north side of the constituency.
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact we've had only one TD, it was an honour for me to work for the whole constituency of Cork East, and I hope to be in a position to come back and represent the people of Cork East in the next while after February 8th.
Thanks so much, Kevin. All the best.
Thanks, Kelly.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.